Hello and welcome back to my podcast. I'm joined here with my friends Hiran.
Hello.
And Devon. Hello. Today we will be talking about Chinese privilege and racism in Singapore.
So a disclaimer that we mean no hate or no prejudice towards any race or religion in Singapore.
We take a stance where we're going to look at it at a more objective way and break down a few things. Like, how is Chinese privilege affecting people? So I'm going to pass it back to Kiraf to continue on.
So for Chinese privilege, first we'll look at the job segment. I feel like for jobs, Chinese people have a privilege because many jobs in Singapore tend to look for Chinese-speaking applicants. When I applied for a job over the December holidays at Kopitiam, I actually was rejected quite a number of times because I could not speak Chinese. How about you guys?
I would like to also add in that in Kopitiam, we have to understand that there are people of different races, religions, speaking different languages in Singapore. And it may be actually important that the applicant need Chinese because it's in Kopitiam, where there are going to be a lot of uncles and aunties who are more fluent in Chinese than in English or understand Chinese better. And so I can understand from that stance that they need a Chinese-speaking applicant. But looking at it in a more wider spectrum, for example, getting a job as a chemist or going to look for a job as a banker, many of the jobs in Singapore need you to be bilingual. I would like to very clearly state to you that bilingualism in Singapore is very much known as knowing English and Chinese. As a Tamil-speaking person, I do not need Chinese to go out to Singapore to get anything. For example, if I'm going to the shopping center now, I do not need to go and learn Chinese just to buy anything that I want. But I also would want to know about the need for Chinese from Devon because she's a Chinese-speaking person, so I think she'll be better able to understand that.
Okay, as in, so I have like no experience at all from Chinese privilege, because like, I mean, if you are privileged, of course you won't have any like bad experiences, but I know that like from young, a lot of Chinese kids, right, always told by their like elders that, oh, you don't want to speak to that, like, you know, they like to use this slang, derogatory term on Indian people. And growing up using that slang, right, and realizing that what it meant after I reached like the optimum brain age, then I like found out that actually this is like being racist. After I realized that actually a lot of things that we do, a lot of my friends, we all have the same experiences, having this similar experience of using the same word and like using these racial terms towards people. And I also agree with what Hiran said, that like a lot of jobs, you don't need to speak Chinese. I think that the argument that they say that, oh, but a lot of companies are US and China based, I think that's like total like shit lah, like that's crap lah. It makes no sense at all. If you are such a big company, why you cannot hire someone of a English speaking background or of a you know, the universal language and I guess that's what needs to change.
I agree. I feel like because Chinese people are the majority raised in Singapore, the cultural and religious practices by other minorities may not really be accepted and may be made fun of. For example, I wear a turban, and luckily in secondary school, my peers are very accepting. But I remember one time last year, I was walking through North Point after my council camp, and then this Chinese student, he came up to me and said, wow, your turban is very nice. And I was like, thank you. And then after that, he blatantly said, psych you bitch, you look ugly. And I was like, wow, I was so taken aback. But thankfully, I don't really face that many racist experiences in Singapore, but it still do exist. So I feel that other minority practices and cultural and religious practices should be more accepted, and not just the Chinese religious and cultural practices just because they are the majority race. I also want to hear from you guys. What do you guys think of the CapitaLand Mall announcing Christmas decorations on Deepavali Day?
For me, I think that it's like seriously very wrong. Like you see on Orchard Road, there's always a lot of decorations for Chinese New Year, for Christmas, to celebrate for the Christians, right? But I rarely ever see anything that is commemorating any other minor races.
I would also like to state a point that Singapore being a multicultural place, we should showcase our four races. Deepavali is not only supposed to be constricted to Little India, and Hari Raya, Puasa and Hari Raya Haji are not supposed to be only constricted towards the Geylang, the Kampong Glam area, because tourists are usually around the Otak area. And if you want to really showcase our four races, we should be putting up Deepavali decorations, Hari Raya decorations, Chinese New Year decorations at Orchard Road.
When I saw the Instagram post about the CapitaLand Mall announcing the Christmas decorations, and then I saw the comments, there were many people upset with it, but there were also many replies to those comments saying, Deepavali is already a national public holiday. You guys should be more appreciative that at least Deepavali is commemorated.
To me, the audacity the person had, the people had to say that at least y'all have that. The word at least already makes a big impact, that they're saying that we are minorities here, Indians are minorities here, and they're getting the bare minimum and they should stay where they are. And to me, another fact, they published it on Deepavali Day. When many people are celebrating the Festival of Lights at home together with their family, they put up the post on that same day. And many of the comments said, Happy Deepavali, Deepavali in Alvartikal. And also want to say, every race in Singapore is getting 2 days of public holiday. The Indian people are getting Vesak Day and Deepavali. Vesak Day is a Buddhist holiday. The majority of Buddhists in Singapore are Chinese people. And Vesak Day is considered Indian because Buddha was known to be originated from India. The majority of Buddhists in Singapore are actually Chinese people. They are not Indians. How is Vesak Day allocated as a holiday for Indians? When it could be Deepavali, it could be Thai Pusam, it could be Pongal.
Well, another point I would like to mention is, I think on Thai Pusam, the Indian community has many cultural celebrations on that day and they have to play cultural music. But I think, if I'm not wrong, Singapore actually doesn't allow those music to be played because it is apparently too loud. But I feel that for religious reasons, it is okay because on New Year's Eve, fireworks are being lit up. So why can't on Thai Pusam the same cultural music be played?
I saw a comedian, his name is Kumar, very well known in Singapore, we all know Kumar. And he made a joke saying that next year, Thai Pusam will be inside National Library. We are not able to play our religious instruments, we are not able to be loud enough to say our religious mantra out. But mind you, Thai Pusam is not a holiday. So many Indians in Singapore have to take off on their Thai Pusam just to go to the temple. So I want to know more about the Vaughan stance about this.
I have like no idea about any of this at all. It's probably because, yeah, I'm a sheltered Chinese person. Like, I didn't even know that Vesak Day was to celebrate Buddhist people. Like, I didn't know at all. Like, all I thought was that, yeah, it's just an Indian, cultural day, which is probably wrong on my part, but and I have no excuse for it. And thank you for letting me know.
A lot of us in Singapore do not know about Indian holidays. I was taken aback the other day. My Chinese tutor came and told me, Happy New Year. And I was like, what New Year? See, Deepavali is your Indian New Year, right? I'm like, it's not.
It's because schools don't really like it. We have a celebration for New Year. Chinese New Year. I think we had a celebration for Hari Raya. Yeah,
which is very seldom.
It's like not really very big. But I don't think I've ever seen a celebration for any Indian holiday at all.
I think like the most for Deepavali, they just show an Indian dance, that's all. I feel like also Singaporeans can be a bit tone deaf towards the minority races at times. For example, I want to quote an incident. In 2018, a Chinese officer, for comedy purposes, he tied a turban and wore a fake beard to imitate Sikhs at a Deepavali celebration at Sports SG. He also did the stereotype of Indian head shaking, which I feel was very tone deaf, and I feel what makes my identity and turban so funny to those around me.
To me, the point is, Deepavali is a Hindu celebration of Festival of Lights. What has that got to do with a Sikh person? That's my real question. Why is he wearing a turban? So that means he's ignorant. And second of all, we Indians do not shake our heads whenever we say something. And we take showers. We actually take... People say, hey, you take a shower, you're Indian. That's what they ask me.
Okay. Going back to that topic, right? Can you tell me, like, any of your experiences of casual racism, because like I want to know like where is the place that I should stop, and are you comfortable with any sort of it from like your close friends?
Many of my primary school mates, whenever, like for example, we are walking right and our arms accidentally touch each other's, they will actually move away. Then they will speak to each other in Chinese, and that made me feel very secluded. And not that did not only happen to me, but I also my other Indian friends, and we all felt like, what is this society we are growing up in, where we are deemed disgusting? Because if someone accidentally touches you and they move away and say and speak to each other in Chinese with a disgusted face, I do not know what else to make of it.
This is why I hurt my people. As in, I don't want to mention names, and I don't know a lot of people who said it changed really. Maybe they have. Maybe they haven't. But, God, like what? Three privileged Chinese people said that Chinese privilege isn't real. And that Chinese privilege is real to a certain extent. I think that those are like clearly the words from someone who hasn't been the victim of the backhand of any like harassment, basically.
Honestly, to be honest, I didn't actually know that colorism was such a big issue in Singapore until this year, because I never really faced any colorist experiences because
the according to the stereotypes, and I am darker, my skin tone is darker than his. I'm Hindu, so I put on a religious mark on my forehead, which I have been made fun of. Hey, why you put what? Some of them asking you put cocaine on your forehead. I was so taken aback and I felt very hurt and offended because my race, my religion, my race is being put on a lower pedestal. It made me feel really hurt, and that's what Devon asked for a few experiences. This one of my examples and experiences I have went through. Devon, as a Chinese person, have you went through any
not
kind of
at all, man. Like maybe the occasional. Actually, no, not at all. Like, but I remember like some experiences where like it's because I'm also not a very fair person, right? As you all know, so. I don't really want to call them friends, but my classmates last time, they were like refer to me as Malay or Indian. Like, even now I still have some experiences from it. And I think it's not good lah. I don't know whether to call it racist, because it's not a good feeling for me and for anyone, honestly.
They grow up knowing that, hey, Malays and Indians are brown. Indians look darker than us. They are darker than Malays. And Malays are stupid. Why are Malays being stereotyped into being stupid, into being ITE? And what's wrong with ITE? So that's one of your educational standards, right? You're thinking that ITE is low, and you're saying that Malays are stupid. And I've heard a joke. My friend told me, he thought it was funny. That, you know, the bench can support me, but Malay cannot support family. To me, I felt like, what is he trying to come out from there? That why is he trying to racially attack another race? What's his problem at all? There are many, many people in Singapore who are Malays, and they have succeeded well in their life. And I would like to take the liberty to share an experience of my Malay friend. She shared this in one of my classroom conversations. She said that when she was younger in primary school, she was in the second best class, in our first or second best class, and people ask her, hey, you're quite smart for a Malay. I was really shocked by what she told me, and it really showed how much narrow-minded Singaporeans are, actually.
Since we are on this topic, I want to also address bullying of minority races in social media. So for example, when an Indian posts a TikTok, usually the comments will be flooded like, hey, when the Bangladeshi got out of workout, hey, the Bangladeshi made a TikTok. And then when a Malay race, a group of Malay friends make a TikTok, usually the comments will be like, combined PSLE score 80, ITE students so free.
So you are being racist indeed. And Bangladeshis are not Indians. They come from two separate countries. That's on your part.
I think they want to say something. So about the TikTok thing, right? To me, honestly, I know that this kind of thing is gonna happen. Of course, it's not like I'm tolerating it or anything, but it's like it's a fact that things like this will always happen, and it's not like it's something that is shined on. Like, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but like what I'm trying to say is there will always be this prejudice people and these haters, and not everyone can be educated, but yeah lah, as in that's I think to me that's just how it is lah. I don't know how to change that, but I'm pretty sure we can do it like slowly lah. And also yeah, like people really a bit CB.
We get teased on because of our clothes. We get teased on because of our religious holidays. We get teased on because of our religion. Do minorities fight fire with fire?
Not really, because we cannot. So, because no offense, but Chinese people are the majority race. So, if we are going to fight fire with fire, we are going to get burned.
Yeah, there was a time when CNN Insider actually placed a video on their YouTube page about the education system. And they only brought in Malay students who are from neighborhood schools, from the normal technical, while there are Malay students in express stream. But they brought in Chinese students from top schools and all, from NUS and all this. But they only brought in Malay students from normal technical. And to me, I was like, huh? So what does that? What do they mean again by that? So are they saying that it's actually Malay students are only from normal technical? There are many Malay students who are in express, you know. So that kind of small actions actually mean a lot to us. Like whatever they do, these gestures mean a lot, you know, and it really affects us and offends us lah.
What do you think, Malays and Indians? Do you think that they should be allowed? Okay, I use inverted commas on this. Allowed to use the N-word, because to me, right, I have had experiences with someone who claimed he had the pass on the N-word because he's Malay, because I quote him, he said he's black.
I would just like to say that black people in America does not mean their color is black, but their ethnicity is black. Actually, the African Americans in America comes in actually all shades and color. Some of them can even be white due to albino condition.
Just because you're dark doesn't mean you have the right to use the N-word. Or just because you have a black friend, you have the right to actually use that word. The N-word is of many years of systemic racism, slavery that is embedded into it. And that's why it's a slur. And you know, we know that there was a time when there was this mother and son in Singapore who came, and when the son came out to use the N-word as a slur, and the mother actually came out to back him up and say, "What's wrong with it? Why can you not say it?" And in both of them speak, it spoke in vulgarities and profanities. No one is supposed to actually use that slur, because it's of many years of systemic racism and slavery in it, that the pain they've gone through, the blood they have actually spilled, all of that are in that word, you know. So I don't think not even a Malay Chinese, no one's able to actually use that word. It's not right. Why is a Chinese student who takes higher Chinese primary 6 level able to minus off 3 points for a PSLE score, when a Malay or an Indian student who took higher Tamil or higher Malay not able to minus off? Our nation is known to be very multicultural, right? In school, we are being taught to sugarcoat things and forget about the real issues, because they say, oh, racial harmony day, we shouldn't say anything wrong to each other.
A lot of people like this. A lot of like adults, more close-minded ones, they like to say that, oh, you are so young, you wouldn't know anything. But I feel like it's precisely because we are young, then we don't have like the young people usually don't have like the fixed thinking that, oh, something is right, something is wrong. We have like a more open mindset, like we have like a wider sort of like, you know, opinions, a wider set of opinions, more variety, and that we can change our mind according to what other people say very easily, which can be a good thing but also can be a bad thing. And like these kind of things is also a lot of people like to say that, oh, this one cannot change one, it's because that, and I think that it's due to this mentality that is why it has taken like so long for Singapore to overcome a lot of like racial issues that still haven't been solved to this day.
I would also like to inform you that, you know, as an Indian in Singapore and all that, I have an Indian accent. But as I went into primary school, I was forced to put up a fake accent just to get away from people who are going to be attacking me just for speaking my Indian accent. And it really is something that a lot of us go through, because we are not able to speak in our real accent. We are not able to speak in the real, in what we are. And I, and my mom, when I was younger, she had to put, she had to actually let me know and teach me, you know. She had to say, Kira, you are in Singapore where Chinese are the majority. I'm telling you that you have to work harder than the rest to get what you want, and you have to work harder just to be at the same place of as a majority person who may work less harder than you. The fact that she had to tell me that to her child, it's really what the problem is, lah.
So what can be done to change this? I feel like as we grow up, we are, I hope we become the change, because actually we are the, as you can see, like through you know, our inverted comma woke culture.
We are woke people, and we have to make sure that whatever we're going to do, it should come out as a change. And the real change is when all races and religions in Singapore will have to take action of it. And we have to educate our younger generation. We have to educate people that, hey, Deepavali, this is what Deepavali is. Hey, Hari Raya, this is what Hari Raya is. We should have equal celebration for every festivities. We should teach more about our race and religion out to people so that they will also know about it, and they will also want to know and engage in our culture, actually. And what else we can do, mostly is like literally let people know, really educate people, really tell people what it's really about, what we should, what actions we should be taking. And that way we will be able to change Singapore, change the society, and help the fabric of our, the very fabric of society strengthen.
Yeah, la, as in, to me, right, these kind of things is like, you cannot change it suddenly. It's through the small actions. And but if you ask me truthfully, I'm going to say that I have no ideas at all on how we can like change the mentality of these most Singaporeans, that they are like, in a sense, superior, la, which is, of course, wrong. But I think, of course, by starting out, everyone should just have an open mind, and that some people, everybody have different like way of thinking. Everybody, most people have different religion, most people have different beliefs. And like, I think that one way to start out on changing the behavior of Singaporeans is that like, you just respect people. Like that is so simple, right? But it's apparently so hard for like so many people to fulfill.
Because as humans, right, we sometimes forget that whatever we are saying is actually affecting people. We are all humans after all, so we all, but we have to be very careful with our words we are going to be telling to our people, our friends, our family, knowing and focusing on what we should actually do and slowly change Singapore and the society into a better one.
Thank you for coming to this podcast. And once again, I would like to emphasize what Devon has said at the
start.
In no way are we trying to shit or hate anyone. And I'm not saying it is impossible to be racist towards Chinese people in Singapore. As what Devon has said, Chinese people do face bad experiences too. But we are here to highlight and educate to you guys that Chinese privilege exists, and some experiences that we face.
I would like to pass a message out to everyone that if you have been racist towards other people, forget about it. Go on as a new person. Be very careful what you say and be more respectful to everyone that you know, lah. And by doing that, you're going to actually solve half the problem.
Thank you for joining us in this podcast. For podcast recommendations, or if you just want to share your thoughts and opinions, you can message me on Instagram at KEE.
That's a wrap.
HH.
Okay.